Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think Florida has just surrendered. I think they're like, you know what? We don't know how to vote. We can't be part of the union anymore. You pick for us who you think is best.
This is like Son of Hanging Chads. I'm still scarred from 2000 with the Hanging Chads and the drama
down there.
It's a gong show.
This is why Florida can't have nice things. You cannot give them the ability to vote if they can't take it seriously and be able to actually count.
And so now apparently a judge has denied a machine recount extension. And there's going to be a hand count, though, for the Senate race.
I don't trust him.
Nelson and Rick Scott.
I don't trust
still very, very close. But we're trying to figure all this out, and
so are they.
And we're hoping for some perspective from Peter King at CBS Radio News. Peter, thanks for joining us today on CCO.
Are you just shaking your head down there, Peter?
Well, I'm shaking your head because, number one, we haven't gotten the official word that there is going to be a hand recount. I mean, you know, it's pretty much a done deal, but it's not official until it's official. So I keep sitting here and refreshing the state elections page every minute or so, waiting for it to come up, watching my email, waiting every second for the Secretary of State's office to send me that note that says it's happening. But it hasn't happened yet. It's only been an hour and 12 minutes or so since the deadline to get all those machine recount votes in, and their computers up at Tallahassee are still humming away. But yeah, we can't have nice things here in Florida.
Sorry, Peter. No offense.
But we don't have hanging chads anymore, guys. And by the way, we do have the internet and indoor plumbing.
Thank you. Well, that's a progress.
Wow. Kind of like you guys.
It's progress. So, Peter, drop some knowledge on us here because
sure.
we're hearing these crazy stories. Alligators are getting cut open and they're finding boxes of ballots. You know, the president says, you know, they're coming out of cars. Where did they go horribly awry, and how did we get here?
Okay, first of all this stuff you're hearing like that is coming from the conspiracy theory
people. Yes, of
course. I'll just leave it at that because they haven't found boxes of ballots hiding in alligators and cars. People are not, we're not getting dressed to go to the polls and then changing their clothes and going back. There has been no solid evidence of any kind of voter fraud or anything like that. And what's happening, the problems were in two counties. There are 67 counties here in Florida. Problems were in two counties. In Broward County, which resolved its problems and, by the way, got its recount done at 1 o'clock this morning. So good for them. The big enchilada in terms of problems, though, Palm Beach County, because they have old machines. How old are they? Well, the people who made those machines are no longer in business.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, that's not good.
So when they overheated and broke down because they were not designed to do this kind of recount this fast, and somebody, I would say, planned very badly down there. Those machines are over a decade old. They actually had to fly mechanics in order to service them and make them work again. And Palm Beach did not make the cut for this deadline just over an hour ago. So their results from Saturday's original filing will stand as the official results.
Well, Peter, I think most people agree, I mean, with the concept of counting every vote, every legitimate legal vote. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, overseas voters, military, they have until, what, the 16th, as long as their absentee ballot was postmarked on Election Day on November the 6th. So that's one concern. And the other question I have is about the signatures on the ballots and some confusion. People have to verify their signatures.
Okay, you're talking about two separate issues here. So let's start with the overseas ballots. Today is the 15th, which means those ballots are due tomorrow. Today is the 15th, right?
Yes,
right.
Correct. Okay. It's Florida, so maybe it's different down there.
Yeah. No. We haven't seceded yet into our own calendar.
Hey, thank God.
But no. The overseas ballots are due tomorrow, and assuming that they were postmarked, as you said, on Election Day or before Election Day, they do get counted. Signatures, that's a whole different story here. And here's the thing. Signatures on the mail-in ballots, we have to sign our mail-in ballots on the envelope that we seal and mail them in, or if we bring them to the elections offices. They have to match what's on file. And if they don't match what's on file, they could get thrown out. Now, the Nelson campaign, Democrat Bill Nelson, the incumbent, sued to have that provision of Florida's election law thrown out because they said, well, you know what? It's not exactly like elections workers are handwriting experts and signatures change over time.
Hmm. Right.
And so there are about 4,000, maybe 5,000 ballots that are in question. And a judge ruled early this morning that people with those ballots, outstanding questions, had until 5 o'clock Saturday to get to the elections office and resolve that, so that would count, and that would count in the recount. So that's kind of where it goes.
So now that there's no, well, you don't know if there's going to be an extended deadline. When are we going to hear an announcement? And who is winning those? I mean, has anybody officially won those races? Will the governor's race be decided?
I think the governor's race is going to be decided. And remember, I'm not in the business of projecting winners or anything like that. But here's a scoop. The numbers, these are the two important numbers, 0.5% and 0.25%. Anything closer than 0.5% triggers the automatic machine recount.
Okay.
0.25% triggers the hand recount. Now, the governor's race was 0.41% difference between the first and second place finishers. Gillum, the Democrat, DeSantis, the Republican. We don't think that is going to narrow enough to trigger a hand recount, so I think we're going to have a governor's winner this afternoon.
Okay.
You know, that's me speaking. That's not CBS News. In terms of the Senate race, well, it started out under the 0.5% margin, then narrowed and narrowed and narrowed some more. Now they're about 13,000 votes apart, 0.14% or so at last count. And that would automatically trigger the hand recount. What that means is that all these elections offices have to recount ballots, do the manual recount, starting when they get the go, and going through Sunday at noon Eastern time to get it all done. That's not a lot of time to get 8 million ballots recounted.
Will you come back on our show and tell us when it's all sorted out? Who the winners are.
If you ask me really, really, really nicely, and don't call me Collect next time.
Well done. No, well played.
That was a low blow.
You know something? It's been since I've been on CCO, and I'm glad to be on with you guys anytime you want. You know how to find me, and hell, I'll even take a Collect call because the company pays for it.
I love that.
Hey, Peter, keep popping those Excedrin migraines, okay?
Boy.
And keep the faith down there.
Hope it all gets resolved. Don't hang up. Wait half a second because I'm going to refresh this page one more time.
Yep.
No, it still has the machine recounts up there. So stay tuned, and maybe we'll know something by the time CBS News with Jeff Glore hits at the top of the next hour.
You're the best. Peter King down in Florida.
Thanks, Peter. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Take care, guys.
You too.
Well, boy, he's got a good sense of humor.
I was just going to say, he's somehow keeping his sense of humor.
Yeah.
But again, and I don't quite understand this, why there isn't more uniformity from county to county, state to state. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just seems, and Dan, you had an interesting observation, our amazing producer, Dan Cook. You said it all comes down to local, local, local. You want to keep local control, local autonomy, but they're making some bad choices.
Clearly, you know, the question is, you know, should the state or should the federal government have the ability to override those local choices? You know, how much freedom do you want to have local, you know, municipalities give up when it comes to one of the most fundamental rights in our entire democracy?
And that gets into state rights versus
voting. I mean,
right.
You know, even municipality right. There's different standards in different counties, you know, in terms of voting. So how much oversight do you want there to be? Although, you know, with a mess like this, it's obvious something has to change.
Well, something has to change, but every vote has to be counted too. I still don't get the system where you have to, your vote has to be in by the 16th. Usually we know on election night. So if your vote isn't in until the 16th, obviously the margins are wide enough that your vote doesn't really count. But how about we have your votes have to be in before election night, and there's some kind of, I know people are going to think I'm crazy, pre-count of all of those ballots, so every vote.
Well, that 16th accounts, you know, for the delay in mailing. As long as it's postmarked by the correct date,
I get that.
Then you know you have to allow for there being some sort of problem with the post office, or you know, as Paul mentioned, military members that are overseas.
That's true.
It just takes that much longer for the ballot to make its way through the mail. So you want to, if the ethic is to get everybody counted, you know, you have the hard date of election day. It has to be postmarked by that day.
Okay.
But after that, you have to allow for some, you know, some sort of flexibility. And honestly, the postmark by the 16th isn't what's causing the problem down here.
No, I know.
The problem isn't necessarily with those ballots. The problem is with, you know, just machines not being able to handle the load.
These machines that were constructed
where? In
Palm
Beach County. Not where, but when.
And he said they're out of business. The company that made the machines business already. I mean, it's ancient.
They could use abacuses and get better results.
They should. Florida, you're killing us. You're killing us. It's 3:21. We'll have, you know, maybe a minute or two to discuss this. And that's something we talked about here on the show. Should either the federal government or at least the state of Florida, the grown-up in the room, somebody find a grown-up, maybe Peter can fix this, step in and uniform the voting process. We'll send our Secretary of State down there because clearly they need some help.
We'll send a couple of fifth graders down
because they can
count. With pocket calculators. Please.
It's 3:22. Should we uniform the voting system? We'll have a few minutes to take your calls at 651-989-9226. Paul and Jordana on CCO. We'll be right back.
Jordana and Paul, happy Thursday. A little bit of snow coming in late tomorrow night. Just a candy coating, a cosmetic snow for most of us.
Because I'm going to go snowboarding this weekend, okay?
You're going to be amazing.
No, I want to go.
Want a video.
So I want you to say, great, you're going to have snow, even though Afton's already making it.
You're going to have a little fresh snow. Yeah, maybe an inch or two tops.
Kids are
but
excited.
I know they're making tons of snow, too.
Okay.
But would you do a video as you're going down?
If I'm
the slope?
If I can.
Can you do that?
Enough. If I'm good enough, like if I'm stable enough.
I'd like to see that, and we need to post that on our Facebook page next week. Just don't hit a tree. I need you here.
God forbid.
Please.
God forbid.
Hey, we have a big show.
Yes, lots to
really
discuss.
Really big show. Sue Zelickson's coming up at 3:35.
You know, it's volunteer month, and we only give Sue like 2 minutes every month when she comes on, and we thought, you know what? We need to spread the love, the Sue love.
She's talking food as well as philanthropy.
That's her segment, Food and Philanthropy. And she's the Thanksgiving edition, by the way. That's why she's on a week early, because girlfriend doesn't want to work Thanksgiving. And you know what? I don't blame her.
Yeah.
You don't want to work Thanksgiving either. You're leaving.
No, I don't.
Dan, are you going to be here Thanksgiving, Dan Cook?
I will be here in spirit.
Gee, who's going to be here Thanksgiving, guys, to run the show?
You.
I'm sure it'll be great, Jordan. I'm really looking forward to it.
Can you run the board? Can you run the board?
No, I cannot run.
Push all damn buttons?
I cannot, Dan Cook.
I'll be back Friday.
Okay. All right. Oh, I'll be back Friday, too.
Sure, that'll be great.
Can we do a best of? And that would only be 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
We should do the other 2 hours and 55
real short
minutes.
Real short.
4:10, we're talking light rail.
Yeah. That's always a fun conversation because people vehemently believe that their side is right. Yes, there should be the light rail, or no, there should absolutely, and especially not if it's in my backyard, on the light rail. Well, we know that it was approved yesterday for construction. That was the very latest.
$2 billion and change?
Yeah, right? And I don't know how long it's going to take. But we're going to talk about that. You know, necessary infrastructure improvement, you get to chime in on the light rail.
Are they building a subway under 35W? Like a secret subway from downtown?
Do you know something I don't?
I just wonder. There's so much going on there.
They should. I would have loved if the light rail was underground. I think that would have been fantastic. I know that's a lot more expensive.
It costs a lot more.
It does, but it is Minnesota. We built skyways because you know what? It's really cold here.
Huh.
It's really cold here.
We'll get a team on that. We'll get a team on that.
Really great. So, yeah, so light rail, vent, get excited. Tell us what you think about the light rail.
Convince us one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I honestly like the idea of light rail, and I'd like to use the light rail. And I know it's going to come close to our weather office out in EP.
Right.
So I look for hopping on a train to come downtown and not have to fight and fumble my way downtown every day. That sounds good to me, but I want to hear both sides.
It doesn't sound good to people whose backyard it's in, although it's like around the block from my house. I'm kind of excited about it. Easy way to get downtown. I'm all for it.
Could be a good thing.
And it's progress. I like progress.
And it seems to be catching on elsewhere in the metro. I mean, people are using light rail. So 5 o'clock hour.
I'm excited about this conversation.
Unity.
Well, we're going to talk about these new bipartisan. Bipartisan is a thing. It's real. And it helped create this bill about criminal justice reform, about mandatory removing mandatory sentences, giving judges more leniency. The president made the announcement of the bill yesterday. And we're going to have the executive director of the ACLU on to talk about this bill. What will it do? How will it affect Minnesota prisoners, past prisoners that are already incarcerated and future prisoners? So we're going to talk a lot about that. And in fact, we have that posted on our Facebook page. So jump on in the conversation on our Facebook page. Do you think that this bill is fantastic? Or do you think, no, we're pretty good the way we are. Mandatory sentences.
And people who have been habitual, chronic critics of this president, many of them have basically yesterday clapped their hands said, this is something we can all agree on.
This is a good step. I'm a fan of this legislation.
So
absolutely.
Give credit where credit is due.
That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll probably talk for an hour about that. So stay tuned and jump in on that conversation. We'll take texts and we will take calls. Right now, we do have to take a quick break, and know that this break is brought to you. The Prep Sports Spotlight is brought to you by Old Dutch Foods.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We need to talk less about politics and voting and caravans and more about food and philanthropy.
I'm in.
Excellent.
Where do I sign up?
I hope you sign up right here on
who
the Paul and Jordana
Show. Who could we turn to who's an expert on food and philanthropy and everything Minnesota?
The wonderfully talented and beautiful Sue Zelickson is joining us now. Hey, girlfriend.
Good choice. Hey, Sue.
Hi, guys. How are you both?
That was quite a lead-in for you.
Yeah.
I heard that. That was really nice. Although somebody was calling me, I'm on my cell phone in the car because I was heading down to see you and I knew I wasn't going to make it. So I pulled over. I'm calling you in from the car.
You're so funny. All right. Okay. All of Sue's friends, don't call her now because she has to be on the radio.
Don't you hate that when you're on the radio and people text you and, hey, you're on the radio.
All that stuff. Well, you guys do it all the time. So I thought I could do it too. Anyway, you're right. We got to talk about good things this week. It's National Philanthropy Week. I always get that word mixed up, and I should just call it Volunteer Month, right?
That's right. It's Volunteer Month. Correct.
That's right. But anyway, I know you've been full of it this week with the Gospel Mission Radiothon. Mm-hmm. It was such a success and Give to the Max yesterday. Mm-hmm. But there's still time to donate or to cash some cash or services or products or talents or expertise, because this can go on all year. It shouldn't be just the month of November. I just love volunteering, and I think it's something that has really kept my life going, and I know you guys do it a lot. Every time you're asked to go out and be an MC or do something, it means a lot, and it means a lot to you as well, doesn't it?
Certainly, of course, but it's not just about us. Where are you sending people to do some philanthropy this month, Sue?
Well, I've got a lot of things that are really on my current radar. I've done a lot of things in the past, but now there's some that are very near and dear to my heart. One is the cookie cart. In fact, it's the cookie carts now, because there's two of them, one in Minneapolis and one in St. Paul, and they give teens their very first jobs that they've ever had. And it's not just scooping cookies like it used to be. It's learning about how to do a business, to learn how to sell, to learn how to bake, to learn how to do a lot of things. And they're having a wonderful thing that I love when two organizations get together, say a business and a nonprofit. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the Eversharp Knife Store. It's a little hidden gem over on Taft Street, and you can take your knives, your scissors, your garden supplies in to have them sharpened. Plus, you can also buy incredible knives. They've got the largest supply of all these Wistoff knives in the whole country, I think.
But if you're feeling angry, don't go to that store.
Exactly.
I don't want Jordana to have any knives. That's a bad idea.
She would
idea.
Never hurt a flea. I know she's too dear.
No running in that store. No running.
No running with scissors.
Well, this Saturday, that sweet store, because I went in there to buy a knife for someone at the cookie cart, and then they said, well, let's do a fundraiser, and they're going to give 100% of their sales next Saturday, and it will be going on all day, and they said that also they're going to be selling cookies from the cookie cart, so
nice.
It'll be a good day.
Nice.
And there's a lot of things. Next thing I'm very, very fond of is Perspectives, as you well know, mm-hmm. and the Family Center in the Kids Cafe is in St. Louis Park, where kids learn how to cook in a commercial kitchen and then feed each other. They have 8 kids down in the kitchen cooking every night and learning how to cook and learning how to set a table and all those good things. And Mrs. Kelly's annual tea party is helping that out Perspectives this year again in the Grainbelt Brewery Warehouse in Northeast Minneapolis. So December 1st and 2nd, put that on your calendar if you want to go to a place that has 100 varieties of teas to choose from. New flavors each year. In fact, there's one that's called Pancake and Bacon Tea, so you can drink your breakfast.
Tea? Pancake and Bacon Tea?
Yes. That's the flavor. Not
really?
You don't have to chew it.
Oh,
kind of a
okay. But anyway, they're going to give donations, and if you bring some non-perishable food items also to Kids Perspectives Kids Cafe and also the Anoka County Food Shelf. Mm-hmm. And then there's also Hope Lodge that I love over at the American Cancer Society's place where people can go, patients that are getting care, they can stay there free while they're getting cancer treatments and bring a caregiver that can stay in a room for free right with them. And so they're doing a fun drive now too. It's called Hope a Home or Fill the Lodge with Hope. And people can come and volunteer. They can sponsor a room. They can do a fundraiser. And they're selling a little book called Llama Nicholas at the Hope Lodge. It's about a llama that one of the patients wrote a book, and now he's a volunteer, and now he's selling the book to raise money for there. So everybody's helping everybody else, which is really, really good.
Nice.
And Open Arms is one more. I'm just going them in as fast as I can.
That's okay. We got plenty of time for you today, girlfriend. No worries.
Take a breath.
I don't have to go so fast. Okay.
No, you're good.
All right. So Open Arms, and I don't know if either of you have ever been over there, but it's on 25th and Bloomington, South Minneapolis, and they own their own farms as well because they're serving individuals with life-threatening illnesses at home, where they have a marvelous kitchen that they built a few years ago. It's been in business for a long time, and volunteers come in, they cook the meals, and then they pack them up, and then they send them, there goes my phone again, and then they send them to different places by volunteers bringing them to people's homes so they don't have to go out and grocery shop, and they also don't have to cook healthy meals.
Nice. Uh-oh. See, somebody needs to stop calling Sue because then her phone cuts out. Everybody wants to tell her they listen to her on the radio, and that's not the right time.
She's by the side of the road somewhere.
Do we lose her, Dan?
You think the police pulled her over?
Here's what I love about Sue, that she not only knows about all this stuff, she's lived it. She goes. She does it. That's what she does. This is how she spends. I mean, I can't tell you how many phone calls. It's like, okay, Jor, this is where I'm going tonight. Are you coming? And I try to remind her, Sue, you know, I have humans that I need to feed. I need to, you know, her kids are grown. Her grandkids are grown, for God's sakes. But she's always out doing something. And I love that about her. And whenever I do something with the kids, you know, we drag her along too. But she already knows about it. And when we arrive at the location of the volunteering, Sue. Great to see. Everybody knows Sue.
Everybody knows Sue.
Everybody knows Sue. So you got to call us back. But her radio is probably turned down in the car, Dan, like she was instructed. So hopefully she'll call back.
Well, hopefully she had enough juice on her cell phone. That's what I'm worried might have happened. As the phone died, then,
so,
then she can't call.
That's kind of what it sounded like. She was going to mention about Open Arms, Bloomington Avenue South, Minneapolis, serving individuals with life-threatening illnesses. They make healthy meals for individuals or groups. So that's one option as we ponder Thanksgiving and sitting down with friends and family mm-hmm. and eating some good food. Just remember everybody, food shelves, food banks all over the state, ICA Food Shelf.
Wait, don't tell us everything because Sue's
back.
Is
she back?
I'm back. I pushed the wrong button on my phone. I'm as I am on computers.
Well, we were going to have to yell at Al for calling you with the grocery list in the middle of your segment. He should know better.
He's done things like that before, right?
So we just talked about Open Arms, and which was the other one you mentioned, Paul?
Well, the food shelves, ICA Food Shelf. What's mm-hmm. going on there, Sue?
That's a food shelf in the western suburbs in Minnetonka and Hopkins and that area, and they're doing things all month. Like they're having, you can go bagging for tips In other words, you bag at a grocery store if you're a group or an individual, and then the tips go to the food shelf, which is wonderful.
Nice.
And that's November 20th from 9:30 to 6:30. You can sign up for a time to do it. They're only two-hour shifts, so they don't keep you all day. Walk to End Hunger is November 22nd from 7 to 10 a.m. And then that ICA Day, I think you just mentioned it, Paul, at Maynard's. You can go there and have a wonderful meal, and the money that they donate your meal money to the ICA food shelf. So there's
nice.
Always something to do, something to donate of your time and your talents, as well as cash. As we learned this month, there's many needy people out there. You did a wonderful job at the Mall of America the other day, and it showed the needs are out there. And everyone, I always say, when you give of yourself, you really give a gift to yourself, mm-hmm. because while you're doing things for others, it really boosts your whole ego and makes you feel good about yourself as well.
Heals the soul.
I remember that. I don't remember much when I was like 7 or 8, but I remember
it's
I was
a
in,
very long time ago.
I was in Florida once on vacation in Florida, uh-huh. and one of my father's colleagues came up and he asked me this question in the dining room, and I remember it vividly. He said, "Why do you feel good? Why do we feel good when we do good things?"
And that's a heavy question.
Like, I had the answer at the age of 7.
Did you have the answer? What did you say?
I don't know. I think we're wired to help people, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
right. Especially Minnesota people, because, you know, we have one of the biggest one of the largest in giving and mm-hmm. helping
donating.
Others. Yep. And donating, right, exactly. And it's a good thing to have, right?
Uh-huh.
Good things to be known for.
Sue, last question, 10 seconds. How many grandkids now?
Four.
Four grandkids.
And they're so great. He doesn't have any grandkids yet that he knows of yet.
I'm aware of, but I'm
You're starting
hoping.
With the weddings next, right?
Well,
that comes first.
Trying to do it in the right order here, yes.
that's really good. And Jordana's got a long way to go.
Oh, please.
She's got to get those bar mitzvahs out of the way
first.
Oh,
please. That's right. Yes. And you know what? I'm actually pleased to announce I do have one on the way, Mark's daughter.
Really?
Oh, that's
so you're going to be
I'm going to be a bubby.
You're going to be a mother-in-law.
Grandmother-in-law?
They're like, what are you going to call her? We're going to call me. I don't know, Bubby. I said, I don't really want to be a Bubby. I'm not a Bubby. What are you, Sue? Are you a Bubby?
I'm Grandma or Gima now.
I
one
like
of my grandkids. But I have a friend whose grandkids call her Bubs, and I think that's cute.
Yeah, they can call me Bubs.
Bubs would be cute for you, I think so. That's very fitting.
All right, Sue, we love you, but we got to go.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, and it was a pleasure. And one day I'm going to get down to the studio again.
Yes.
You're welcome anytime.
Yes.
Like you never
Thank
left.
Thank you so much.
Say hi to
Sue.
Al. I make pickles, and I bring them for Al. He likes
Bubby?
My pickles. Bubby, it's Yiddish. It's it means grandma.
I think Grams.
Bubby and Zadie.
Grams.
Grams?
No.
I think Jordana will be just fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3:38, Wicks and Jewelers time. From jewelry and watch repair to appraisals and custom design, Wicks and Jewelers offers a complete range of jewelry services all under one roof.
We'll get fired up talking about light rail in the next hour.
Yeah, my mind is a blank canvas.
Oh, I know.
Most days, but I know people get fired up. I mean, really passionate about this issue. And I do see both sides, the not in my
sure.
backyard
yeah.
syndrome.
Yeah.
But I also, for us to be competitive,
yeah.
to
yep.
not rely on our cars and, mm-hmm. and trucks all the time. I mean, we need options. Mm-hmm. We need transportation
And for
options.
The suburbs to grow, you know, not clog the roadways. We need to be able to commute from the suburbs.
We're trying to attract new businesses, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
More jobs, better jobs.
You know what else we're trying to attract?
People
to come down and see Geraldine.
Oh,
Steele.
Yeah.
That's right. We are giving away tickets. And we're going to do it now, Dan. We'll take the fifth caller at 651-989-9226. But here's the deal. Don't call unless you can go, because Geraldine is taping her holiday special at the Cambria Gallery on Monday, November 19th. That's this Monday at 11 a.m. So if you can't go or you're not downtown, don't take the tickets, because then we want to save them for somebody who really can go. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. The tickets are on the will call list. Be the fifth caller, and then you get a 4-pack of tickets to see Geraldine Steele and the tape her holiday special at the Cambria Gallery on Monday, November 19th at 11 a.m. And if you have not had this experience, I try to stop down every year when she's taping it. Extraordinary. just you will be in the spirit from that moment she opens her mouth on. It's an incredible special. And we're just so lucky to have that in the building and be able to share that.
She is a force in nature.
She's amazing.
She sings like an angel.
So you'll be able to hear that. And I think Dan already has a winner. And if you'll have to go see her somewhere else if you can't win. But are we giving away? No, we're only giving away these tickets. That's it. Yeah. All right. So hopefully you got them and enjoy. On Monday, we'll try and stop down also.
Okay. Can we take the light rail there?
We cannot. We cannot yet take the light rail. But tell us if you want to be able to take the light rail after the break on CCO. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.